this evening, we are going to continue our discussion, Faith Basics, from that book of Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to read about 10 verses or so. And I would like you to look into your Bibles. And if you don't have one, just close your eyes and put your head between your knees. All right? Otherwise, look into your Bible or share with somebody. The book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start from verse 7. Paul was explaining something here. Explaining the fact that we are all parts of one body, but that certain things make us different, and that's the fact that from verse 7, to each of one, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he left captives a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who has descended is himself. Also, he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, my emphasis is from verse 11. Just I like to read in context. That's why we took it from verse 7. He said, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. There's a purpose for giving some as these. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. I like King James here. He said, for the work of ministry. That is, why I like the word ministry there in King James is not because service is less accurate. It's just because contemporary Christianity, the word ministry is what we use often. All right? And use the word ministry to describe the fact that everybody has a service to do for God makes it easy for us to appreciate the fact that it's not only the people we call ministers, all right, that are ministers, but every believer is a minister. Now, but here he's not laying emphasis on that. We have discussed that in previous times. The emphasis here is on certain kinds of ministers, all right, that prepare all the believers for the ministry that they have. Okay, that's the emphasis I want to bring out. That verse 11, that is, amongst all believers, certain people have certain gifts. And because of that, God poured a kind of grace upon each one of them. Some of them he called apostles, some he called prophets, some he called evangelists, and some he called pastors and teachers. If you notice, just for those who are interested, he did not break pastors and teachers. It's a single office. People say there are five ministry gifts. Paul described four here, not five. The last one is what he called pastors and teachers. Just one single ministry gift there. You know, actually, just by the way, for those who are interested, for a long time I used to wonder why he said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as this. But when he got the last one, he said some as pastors and teachers. And if you go and read Jeremiah, he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who will feed you with wisdom and with understanding. That is, it is the job of pastors to feed. People think that pastor's job is to visit. How are you doing? Good morning. He's that's just the, you know, I like the way Miles Monroe said it. He said, if anyone is sick amongst you, let him call upon the elders of the church. That is the job of the elders of the church to visit people. I don't know whether you get my point, all right? When you all this one of doing arrangement and administration, it's meant for what the Bible calls deacons. Do you get the point? But these days we have lumped everything into the job of the head of the denomination, and we'll call the person the pastor. So it's his job to go and visit the sick, go and do follow-up. Miles Monroe emphasized that, no, that's not the job of a pastor. And if you see the beginning of the church, the people who occupy this position, the apostles, they said that it's important we give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Are you getting my point? Now, that's just by the way. That's not the main thing I'm teaching. Just that, you know, you keep on saying many things so that people can learn one or two things from here. All right? So, he said he gave some as pastors and teachers. So, these different groups of people, their purpose, unlike other... Now, let me say this again. Every believer has a purpose, has a ministry. Every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian. But these people, all right, there is something unique about their own ministry. And their own ministry, what is unique about is the fact that their own ministry is to prepare every other believer to fulfill their functions as ministers. Do you understand my point? Do you get what I'm going to explain? All right, so that's the way it is. Now, everybody is a minister. But there is an emphasis, all right, here on the special function that these kind of ministers perform. They equip the saints for the work of service. Now, having said all these things, let's continue reading so I can get to the main thing we are discussing today. He said, so for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, I've left those introductions. Let me sit on my main message for today. That's where we are now. To a mature man. If you have a King James, use the word perfect. The word perfect there is actually better illustrated, better expressed in modern English as mature. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. That is, when these people perform their functions, the result is that we will no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. Please, I'm going to say something briefly about that trickery of men again today. By the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking in truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. Notice that, who is the head, even Christ. For from him the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Now let me just stop reading there. I read from verse 7 to verse 16. Now I said a lot of things just by the way in introduction, but what I was going to is the fact that I said that these ministers, they have a job to build up the body, everybody. And this is the aim of that. If you look at it, what he was saying is that everybody is born a child. And that's a matter of fact. That's the way life is. But then when we feed on the proper diet, and our parents, our cooks, the people who serve us food, whatever name we want to use to explain them now, if they do their job well, and we have the right attitude, we will find out that a time comes that we are no longer children. Now, this is what characterizes children. They are tossed to and fro. I like the way King James says it, by every wind of doctrine. Are you getting my point? Then they are subject to the trickery of men. Now, that's very important. Because what we see a lot of these days is people, you know, I'm sorry to say this. I don't like to get carried away, but occasionally I need to just say things so as to help people become established. It's very common, you see, one thing I notice a lot, all right, is that I talk to preachers, all right, and I look at preachers. And these days, I gather more boldness not to feel bad when I'm critically analyzing a situation. I notice something. There's unconsciously, and I'm saying it to that if you're a preacher, you will never do it. Unconsciously, we use the word of God to manipulate people. Once, a brother, I'm sure you will listen to this message one day, he came and met me. He said, now he had just gotten engaged to a young believer. All right, the lady is a young Christian. So he wanted to help her build up her faith. So he came and said that she kind of prepare a kind of curriculum and notebook so that she would read one book after the other and none of that. So she was surprised at the way I responded. I said, what are you? Are you a witch? That was where I answered him. I said, oh, you think you are the Holy Spirit? Now, you see, what I'm saying is there's a fine line between what is good and what is wrong, all right? I explained to him, look, you are not the Holy Spirit. If a book blesses you, give the young woman to read. There's nothing wrong with that. But you cannot prepare a curriculum of growth for her. You can't. You are not the Holy Spirit. If something blesses you, give her. If you think she needs to know something that you know, teach it to her. But don't get up and try and put her through a school of maturity, thinking that at the end of 2 years, you will have made her a mature Christian. What do you think you are? Now, I use that one to shock a lot of us into thinking about this thing, all right? Sometimes we use the word of God thinking we are going for a good thing, but we are actually using wrong methods. Let me explain something. This afternoon, I was meditating. I realized something that Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? His righteousness. And a lot of times people talk about kingdom. Christians, be kingdom-minded, kingdom. And what do we mean by kingdom? What we mean is that build up the body of Christ. What we mean is this. Like, let's build great churches, great institutions, great businesses with the name Christian on top of it. Do you get my point? Let us advance the cause of Christ. And listen to me, basically, advancing the cause of Christ is good. But you see, it is difficult, all right, to separate what is advancing the cause of Christ from what is actually feeding your own ambitions and your own quest for power. Are you getting my point? A lot of people become believers, and they were proud as unbelievers. They are still proud, but now they have shifted their pride from the money they had, all right, into the spiritual substance that they have, but they are still proud. Before they will brag on money, now they brag on anointing. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the reason I'm saying that. So sometimes when we are pushing kingdom, what we are doing unconsciously sometimes is that we are pushing our own ambition and our own ideas of what life should be. We are transferring what is worldly standards into Christian standards. So we are fighting for the kingdom of God. Meanwhile, we are fighting wrongly. Now, I'm going somewhere. Please, don't lose me here. Don't lose me here. Please, just follow. So how do you prevent? Because it's very difficult, all right? It's as you grow that you begin to find out the difference between the two. So how do you prevent that mistake happening in your work? This afternoon, I was meditating and I suddenly got the answer. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. That is, the way by which you can seek the kingdom of God is by seeking his righteousness. If you focus on doing the right things, you will discover that you can never build a wrong kingdom. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, let's assume that now, okay, I say, look, we're going to expand the kingdom of God, so we're going to build a great ministry for God. God said, fine. I think it's fine. All of you think it's fine. Everybody thinks it's fine. God, you know where God will wait? You wait for the money. Where you will get the money? I don't know whether I get my point. This is how you know whether you're really building the kingdom of God. If you get the money righteously, if you use the word of God to manipulate people so as to get the money, you are not building the kingdom of God. Because you are not seeking what? His righteousness. What is his righteousness? His righteousness is the proper way of doing things. If I say, no, must guide this gospel all over the world, which it sounds right. Okay? But listen, it costs money to carry this gospel all over the world. Therefore, if we join hands and we give the one that we can, do you understand? And the gospel does not move beyond number 2, Chime Avenue, you know, we are number 1. And it doesn't move beyond number 2. We have tried. If we now say, after all, people are carrying the thing down to Jamaica. We now take the word, you know, very common. You watch TV, you go to churches here, then somebody now comes and says, today, I brought a special revelation on how to multiply the sudden seed. You know, we invent new things, sudden seed and sudden harvest. All of this is that you want to collect money. See, you have left the righteousness. Therefore, you are no longer seeking the kingdom. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That's what I mean by, you know, what we're talking about, no longer being children, all right? I'm bringing another issue. So all you find is that we are going for the kingdom of God, not by building our own ideas of the kingdom in our minds and trying to portray that outside, but by going for his righteousness. And as we follow his righteousness, we will see his kingdom advance in our hands. I hope you are following the point I'm making. I hope I've not lost track here, and I've not lost you at all. All right. So I'm coming to something, all of these things. Please, eh? So you see, what happens is that as believers, we often, you know, I went into that trying to explain the issue of being tossed to and fro. So a lot of times we find out that, you know, I was saying that, I don't like to say this, but this is a matter of fact. A lot of us preachers, that's what I was trying to explain, we make that mistake. Do you understand? We begin to use, you know, the word of God to manipulate people. And a point came in my life. I'm not saying I'm a total perfect man, but in this area, I think I attained a good degree of maturity. No matter the gospel you preach, it doesn't get one cob out of my pocket. There's no anointing to collect money I've not sat under. In Nigeria of today, the hottest ones have preached in my face. Some of them I walked out on them while they are talking. And people were trembling. One day, he was preaching. One big church in Enugu. And I was there. Actually, I went to go. I heard he was coming to town. I went to go and see whether he had repented. I won't lie to you. And when I first got there and he was preaching, I said, this man has changed. He was preaching the importance of the word of God. Then suddenly he switched. I said, he has switched into the reason why he was hired. So I didn't talk about money. After I bowed down my head, I just ignored him like he has come again. Then, I didn't even know he had gotten near my side. Because, you know, he was using a wireless mic like I'm using now. I'm prophesying heavily. Something great is going. My head was down on my seat like, just finish this and let me go away from here. Then I looked up. The guy was right beside me. I don't know why he was not looking my direction. I looked at him. I wanted to give him, like, my get away, but I try my best to be nice. I just smile. Sometimes people, they look for encouragement. You don't want to discourage the man. Listen, I have sat under all kinds of anointings to collect money. 5 kobo. They know they collect for my pocket. I cannot be tossed. Well, let me give you a small tip. No matter the anointing, say you will go home and think about it. The Bible says give according to as you are proposed in your heart. The pressure will wear off by the time you reach out and come back. There's a Christian you don't give. No. You know how you get money out of people like me? State the just cause. Are you getting my point? Just say it nicely. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Ah, I appreciate truth, my God. And that's what, look at what Bible says. If you read further down, there's the way Paul said it. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Verse 15. That's why I teach the way I do. I teach Christians basically the truth. Don't put pressure on anybody to give money. But believe me, if the word that I've been preaching is blessing you, and that word is effectual, you will prosper so much. One day I will say, we want to do this. You say, Pastor, how much is it? I say, about 75 million. You write a check before you finish that. Do you get my point? Because you have prospered to that level. And you will say, if this word could bless me like this, how much more people are out there that need this word and they need to get it? And you say, this is my duty to God to drop the money. One day, Miles Monroe came out on TV and he began to preach. And that day, I was excited. Didn't promise anybody any special breakthrough for giving. He said, it's our responsibility to sponsor the gospel. I said, this is the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth. I'm not a witch. I'm not a selfish person. I'm a child of God. Why shouldn't I want to sponsor the gospel of God? Why doesn't he say, hey, go and give a special breakthrough because of your son that is sick right now. Go and give a special offering. Because it's not that he's sick. If anyone is sick, let him pray. That's what the Bible says. Not let him give. We use all kinds of trickery. The Lord is good. There's a balance to everything. I'm just going to bring out an issue here. Now, why is it, all right, that I have sat in places and I'm not moved? It's not because of wickedness and stoneness of heart. You understand my point? It is because the Bible says there's a degree of maturity you come to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You are not tossed to and fro. Somebody will come give one fantastic explanation. Don't let me sit on this. Otherwise, because I've seen all kinds of things. People use numbers, you know, mathematical formula of offering. 7 is the number of perfection. 77 is perfection doubled. Therefore, this year, if you want your perfection to be perfected, you will give a $77 offering. I'm not joking. If I tell you who preached this, you'll be angry. And I was looking at them and saying, you're a joker. $77 offering. So you pledge right now to give $77 that your life may be perfected. And because I've read the Bible, I said there's nowhere that the Bible ever demands such things. Nowhere. One day, man was preaching. He said, give an offering for 3 generations. So he raised the sin of 3 generations. I said, Jesus therefore died in vain. Let me tell you something. Young believers, listen. They can't help it. And you will go through a stage in life in which you will be taken also. You can't help it. Because plenty stories follow. Plenty threats follow also. You know, it's blessing and threat. One day I was preaching this gospel somewhere. I told a man to remove all the money in his pocket. That breakthrough may come upon him. He refused. Today he's in poverty. Once you hear that, Okwari. Even if you don't believe in the blessing, at least let's avoid this poverty. Why take the risk? After all you have is only 1,005. But listen, people have threatened all kinds of fires and brimstones. It has never shaken me. I'm talking about the issue of not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, many years ago, it hasn't happened in recent times, there were these letters that used to circulate. The Tantra Totem or Totem Tantra, all kinds of things. Some originated from India. Some say they originated from South America. They originated from Tibet. All kinds of letters. That this letter, you have to photocopy it and send to 25 people. If you do that, within the next 2 days, you will be blessed. Then they tell you stories about 5 different people. There was one general in the American army. He did this. He made His auntie suddenly died and left him $5 million. There was a politician in Mexico. He sent 25 letters and he was appointed the governor. Then there was another guy in somewhere in Nigeria. He sent 25 letters and then his house was completed. They begin telling the story. And then you must do it so that trouble won't come upon you. There was this man, he did not do it, he had an accident and he died. There was this other man, he did not do it, you know, they write the letters. All you need to do is just buy 25 envelopes, photocopy it, and send to 25 people. Do you understand that? How many of you ever received such a letter? All right, many people. Those were before the days of internet. Then recently, they put it on the internet. One day I was coming from work. This was 1993 or 1994. Okay, no. This was 1995, I remember. 1995. And I went to see one of my classmates. He worked in one clinic near my house. So oftentimes when I'm coming from work, I'll stop by to gist with him. So I saw him with a bundle of envelopes, stuffed. So I said, Bobogon, what is going on with envelopes? He showed me one of the letters. I said, Namobs. That's what I used to call the guy. I said, nothing's going to happen to you. He said, let him just do it, you know. Let him just. And that's what happened to most people. As God is my witness, I have never, any letter like that that ends in my hand dies there. If it's by paper, as I read and finish, I tear up. And sometimes if I'm angry, I know that the person who sent it, now fear the warrior. Otherwise, I will send a curse to the idiot that sent it to me. If it's email, as I finish reading it, I delete it. No devil will kill me. Believe me. Listen, no devil, no piece of paper can injure my life. I will not, you see, it's fear. I will not involve myself in propagating that fear. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. They asked me the other day, have you heard about acid rain coming? I said, acid rain. I'm sure you heard about it. I said, it doesn't concern me. You people just get worried unnecessarily. Those letters, many times I got them. It's anyone that entered my hand died there. I can't remember me when I was a much younger believer, I prayed about them. But I can't remember. But if it is now, I don't. I get angry. That thing, you say, what if? What if the devil dies? Is that the only thing that will happen? Paper is not protecting my life. I don't depend on mailing 25 letters for prosperity. The protection of my life. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know of the grace of Jesus, that he was poor, the rich, but he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might be made rich, not through circulating 25 pieces of paper. Till we no longer be babes, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The reason why you have been tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine is because of spiritual immaturity. As a matter of fact, everybody is born a child. Go and read the letter, first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. He explained the principles there. He said, you are still babes. How do I know you are still babes? There's still quarreling and envying amongst you. There's still strife. But there's something you see there. He called that carnality, being fleshly minded. That's how you know babes in Christ Jesus. Now, he now talked about those who are mature, amongst whom he speaks the things that are, you know, the deep things of God. We'll talk about those things later, all right? I just want to bring out the principle here, that everybody is born a babe, but this is my message for today. It is everybody's responsibility to aspire for maturity. That's my message for today. I've said many things just preambling here and there. Everybody is born a babe. But it's our duties to aspire for what? Maturity. I like the way Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's just read that 1 Peter chapter 2. It will help us. He said, therefore, verse 1, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, please, let me just leave those two verses there. Peter said that this is what you are supposed to do. You long for the pure milk of the word. Listen, this is the commandment of Christianity. that everybody who is a believer, born again Christian, must long for the word of God so that he may grow thereby. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. You know what a lot of us do? We long for spiritual activity. You know what I mean? Church activity. Thinking that by that, we will grow. Actually, we increase in rank in any denomination that we are in, but we are not growing. Several times people have walked up to me here and said, what can I, you know, I want to participate in ministry. I have given the same answer to everybody. There is nothing I know, all right, to help you participate in ministry more than just show up. I've explained this to you before. If I notice that anytime I start preaching, you start fidgeting, I will not even allow you full tracks in this place. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Let me explain it again. There are people that have been to churches. You have been to churches too. Now, I know you're not likely to be like that. And why I know is that if you can take the time out on Saturday evening to come and listen to me, you are not like that. Because as soon as you walk in here, we say opening prayer for 5 minutes and I start teaching. As soon as I finish teaching, we close. So nothing else draws you up here apart from the teaching. But typical churches, this is not a church, this is just like a teaching ministry. Most churches have a lot of activities. Therefore, you can be in church and the word does not come up. You've been in church for 2 hours. The word has not yet started. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just describing what happens. Go and check it. You go to church. There are people that they are very active until, praise the Lord, let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 5. Suddenly, they suddenly rush outside to go and check something. And they are outside until the man shares the grace. And then they are inside again. You know a few people like that. I've been to church and I say, this man, I have never seen him inside the church hall listening to the message. And he says he's a Christian. I doubt whether you are born again. There's one musician, I used to say that, I don't think this guy is a believer. Famous Christian musician. And I was proved right that this guy is not a Christian. How did I know? When I used to go to the church where he used to minister, what I noticed is that during the music, jack back, boo, 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 he's there. But come late, when music is not going on, and you will see him sitting outside cooling off while the message is going on. This is a mistake we make. We desire the sincere activity of the church that we may grow thereby, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The Bible says we are to desire what? The sincere milk of the word. Now, I'm not saying people should not walk in church. I keep on saying it. I don't set this place up. God has blessed me to an extent with co-workers in Kingdom World Ministries now that all I do is just walking. I don't even carry my jacket a lot of times. Somebody comes, anything to carry my coat. Anything to carry my phone. Carry my flash. I walk in very lazily. I bless God for that. This is the point I was making. The devil does not respect the quoting of good works in prayer. If the demon of poverty brings his club and his hammer and is hammering at your head, you cannot bring out your tithe booklet or your offering, the counterfoil of the checks with which you gave offering and sponsor the gospel. If God wants to remember that thing, it's his personal issue. It does not concern you. The only thing, listen to me, the only thing that the devil respects is the word of God. That was why when he met Jesus, he didn't see the Lord turn to him and say, hey, as you have seen me, I've never committed anything. I've never committed, better carry your wahala and go. Did you hear him say that? I was the one that completed the roof of the synagogue near my house. Devil, go. He said nothing of such. He said, it is written. It is written. Listen to me. The food of the Spirit is the word of God. That's why he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. He ties the word of God to food. Jesus said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. That is the food of the realm of the Spirit. He said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Paul will talk about strong meat belonging to those who have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. And he's talking about hard doctrine. The only thing that helps you grow, the real food of the realm of the Spirit, is the word of God. Every other thing is maybe trace elements. You know what I mean? Small, small vitamins. In fact, most of them are not anything like that. All the other things we are going to mention, like prayer, they just help you eat the word.
The only thing that feeds you is what? The word of God. That's why you know how you know a Christian that's not going anywhere? He's never present at Bible studies. Either in a place like this, on the church he attends, or on tapes, or on books, or in books. If look, you ask my wife, she'll tell you that I've always been suspicious of Christians who are very spiritual, but I've never seen them carry a book. They can pray from morning till night. But you are holding a book, they are not even interested. I've heard people say that, I don't like listening to Nigerian preachers. So which one do you listen to? Bolivian preachers? Because I know you don't like the American preachers, that you can't hear what they are saying. Now, you don't understand the accent, they're talking. All right, fine, good. So which one do you listen to? They don't like Nigerian preachers? American preachers, you can't hear? You can't speak Spanish, so no South American preacher is on your list? You know what it means? The jack does not listen to anybody. But go and check it. I keep on saying this. I'm saying it so that in case you are one of them, better wake up to reality. Or you have a friend, give him this tape. You can go to church morning till night. It does not make you spiritual. The devil does not respect your person. Neither does God. What gives you weight in the realm of the spirit is the amount of word that has been infused into you, and that word produces righteousness. Are you getting my point? Do you know a lot of Christians actually think that for the fact that they are the first to get to Bible study and do all the work, God should hear them as extra? Listen, your work will be rewarded. Did I hear an amen? Amen. But there's no guarantee of extra answered prayer. I'm telling you. Every good work you do has a reward, but it doesn't have a negotiating power. It doesn't have a bargaining power in it. You can't go to God and say, God, you know, in a Bible study, if I not come, generator know they work. The cameras, only me man the two of them. I put my left hand on the other one and the right hand on the other one. At the same time, I'm using my leg to control the amplifier. They are good things. Do you get my point? Listen, that's why I, Banky, I don't quote the fact that I preach all these preachings to God when I want to pray. The devil and I never discuss how much preaching I have preached. No, because I know it doesn't work. If I have issues, I better wake up. I have some challenges, not me personally, but somebody close to me. That for night, sometimes I wake up during the night, I pull out a Bible and start reading. God, what have you said about this situation? Listen, what I'm telling you, better get it. It is the amount of the word of God that has entered into you that gives you a voice in the realm of the spirit. In fact, in the realm of the spirit, you know, people, listen, the only word that flows, listen to what I want to say carefully, the only voice that flows in the realm of the spirit is the voice of God. And yours is only as powerful as it is aligned, as much as it is aligned to that voice of God. That's why even God does not hear any prayer that we do not pray according to his will. Because the only voice that shakes the heavens, the only voice that angels respond to, is the voice of the word of God. Go and read Psalm 103. That's what it says about the angels of God. Therefore, if you and I are going to pray and the heavens will shake, we must be praying the word of God. Now, we've been talking about incantations. Those of us who are in the cult of Christianity, you know, we talked about it. The fraternity of Christ, remember that? Yes. I said, you read a book like the Psalms, you read Isaiah, you read what we call the Old Testament. Those are the hot incantations of the realm of the spirit. Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to go to the school of spiritual, you know what? There's a school of the spirit in which you go and learn divine incantations. You know, most people just say, I reject it. Hear me. 99.995672% of all the I rejects you hear around don't reject nothing. They don't reject anything. You know, it's I reject it. Everywhere you go now, I reject it. The people who are rejecting it don't even know what they are rejecting. They don't know the meaning of the word reject. They just heard reject. They think that it's not a mantra that you chant so that evil will not come upon you. From their heart, nothing is rising up as the word of God in rejection. They went somewhere. They heard somebody say, "I reject it." You know, there was one joke many years ago. I read it in one of these magazines, one of these comics. No, not really a comic, no, but like they make a lot of comedy in it. The man one day went for a party. And this was supposed to be in Lagos. And you know, like rain is starting to fall now. Rain was going to ruin the party. So one man jumped out from inside the party and began to do, you know, he asked them to pay money that he can stop the rain. So they contributed money. So he decided to go ahead and stop the rain. So they gave him some sticks. He made fire. Gave me a bottle of kerosene. They gave it to him. So as the rain was falling, he was pouring kerosene into the fire. Alright? And chanting his incantations. It went on and on for some minutes. Then the rain began to subside. That's why the rain stopped. The guy writing the story said, "Wow." He told himself, "Yeah, is that how it works? That this is good money in this Lagos." So he memorized all the incantations and decided that this is business. So every Friday, they walk around rainy season. Everywhere that party is supposed to happen. So one day, finally, he met one when rain was starting. He said, "I can stop this rain." He said, "Can you?" He said, "This is my fee." They gathered the money for him and he pocketed the money. Give me a bottle of kerosene, they gave it to him. Give him some sticks, they gave it to him. He put the sticks down, put fire to it, began to pour kerosene on his fire, and he began to recite all the incantations he had. He recited, poured the kerosene finished. The rain increased, the rain quenched the fire. The rain spoiled the party. The people turned around and spoiled him. You understand what I'm saying? What he didn't understand is that it's not just the letters. No, let's go back to incantations now. It's not just the incantations you are hearing. It is a man that is bringing forth the incantations, is pulling out substance from inside his spirit that you are hearing as words. And that's why the Bible calls the word of God the voice of God, because there's a difference between the voice and the word. What I mean is that in letters, I want to analyze it. They indicate the same thing, all right? But there's a reason why they are different. Let me explain. I've said this to us here before. In Genesis chapter 1, when God was creating, the Bible said, and God said, he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Hear me. No, I asked the question then. Answer it for me again. Who was he talking to? Who had eardrums to hear, let there be light? Which language did he speak? It could not have been English, because even Moses that recorded it did not speak English. It's unlikely to have been Hebrew. They were not speaking Hebrew at that time. Definitely not Egyptian language. No, not the language in which Moses wrote it down. But we know that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who was he talking to? There was nobody. You know the fact? God did not say, let there, you know what I mean, be light. What God did was to release as a force into the realms of the, you know, the universe, that which was contained in his heart after he had brooded for it some time. He had formed everything that he wanted. That it erupted, boom, and Moses heard it in Hebrew as let there be light. God did not speak any language. That's why I talked about the voice of God. That voice is not a language. It's not a language. That's why whether you understand English or not, if you quote a scripture, some people have said that, and one day a man was quoting a scripture, he didn't quote it right, the demon refused to go out. I said that man was not quoting any scripture. He said, because he did not quote the scripture correctly, so the demon did not respond. I said, that's nonsense. Because he means shall for will or it. If the man is a real original Christian Babalawo, you understand what I'm saying? If he looks at the devil like this, the devil will run. He doesn't have to. Because that his glance may be the voice of God. Are you getting my point? That's why it's not every time Jesus said, be healed. There are times they say, please, what can I do for you? I want to see. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. He said, cleanse us. He doesn't say, be healed. No, he just says, go and show yourself to the priest. He has not said anything about healing. And the people turned around and they became well. Because it's the difference between a voice. I hope you're getting my point. Because that voice, it's an eruption of what is in the heart of God. And if you don't discover it, no matter how accurate your letters are, they don't carry any spirit. That's why a lot of Christians, if all you operate by is people's testimonies, that's why you have not gotten any testimony yourself. The Christian and the Israelites entered into the parted, the waters parted. They went in between the water and then they went to the other side. And the Egyptians said, is that how it works? What happened? They entered. And the end of the day, what happened to them? The waters overwhelmed them and they died. Let me tell you something. Testimonies are not supposed, they are not meant for you to go and repeat. They are meant to show you the fact that God is alive. Then you go and meet the God that is alive and he will tell you what to do in your own situation that you may have your own testimony. That's why he said in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, since that we have this cloud of witnesses. Do you get my point? He now said, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. No, read it. Quickly go there. We have witnesses, but he now said, no, don't put your eyes on the witnesses. He said, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the point. We have witnesses. We have testimonies, but we don't go around repeating testimonies. They just encourage us to go and look for our own testimony. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Many people say, somebody was sick. He did not take any medicine. And he became well. Next thing you hear that Christians don't take medicine. You see where the problem is? Next thing you hear is, no, we Christians, we don't take medicine. I've heard people say, in our church, we don't take medicine. If the reason why you don't take medicine is because in your church they don't take medicine, you're about to go to an early grave. Yet you can be in a church where medicine is legal and you don't take. Because you have discovered the medicine itself. And you have become so aware of the fact that he took your infirmities and your pains and that by his stripes you have been healed, that you don't see any necessity for the medicine. It is not because in our church they don't take medicine. And that's it, you don't take medicine. That's the problem we have. People repeat words. They don't have the voice of God resonating on their inside. That's why whichever name you call Jesus by, either you call him Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus, like they say in the Mexicans say, or Jesu in Yoruba land. How do they say it here? You want Jesus, my friend, be careful yourself. Is Jesus an Igbo name? It's also Jesu. Jesu. Or Isa, whatever name you call him. And that's why even though you name your son Jesus Christ, he won't save the world. So whichever name you call him by, when you are calling him, what is resonating inside you? Do you get what I'm saying? If it is the Jesus whom Paul preaches, the demon will soon cut your head. Do you get my point? He said, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. The demon will say, give me my spare cutlass. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who is this empty man echoing words that have no meaning to him? That's how he went after the seven sons of Sceva and walloped them thoroughly. If a man, that's in this place where he came from, Jesus, somebody came many years ago who was not speaking plenty grammar. The language was hum, 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 hum. And the name he gave Jesus for them was hum. But they know that hum took their infirmities. Hum took their pains. Hum was beaten for their sake. the chastisement of their peace was upon him, and by whom stripes they were healed, and was hung on the cross. They will come in the midst of everybody and see a demon manifest and say, in the name of, and you see the demon will disappear. Because whatever sound they are uttering, it is what is projecting in the realm of the spirit. That is what brings forth the power of God. You see, the problem we have this is in Christianity. It is well only means that we go to a church where they say it is well. So he said, somebody said that. How are you feeling? He said, bro, I'm strong. What he means is I'm very sick. But they said it is forbidden for him to say, I'm sick. So he said, yeah. Ah, praise God. The kind of strength in my body has not let me sleep for the last 3 days. I said, strength did not allow you to sleep. Bros, don't kill English language for us. Say it the way it is. Bros, I have not been feeling well. And there's nothing wrong with that. Paul said the first time we met was because of a bodily infirmity. When you say I'm well, it should be because you are persuaded that the word is working wellness in you. You must desire growth. Let me go on to the next thing I want to say. I said this last time and I'd like to go over it again. Just now I was talking about testimonies. Hebrews chapter 11. Year of testimonies. Men who stopped the mouth of lions. That's Daniel. You hear of testimonies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Men who they wanted to throw into the fiery furnace. And they threw inside. And yet, even the smell of smoke was not found on them when they came out. Men who stood in the face of trials. Men who gave their heads in the midst of those trials. We've heard all of those stories. And if you read my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I explained the principle behind it. There was the Spirit of God working in them. All right? But let me just go on. So the next thing I said. So in that Hebrews chapter 12, we now discover that the Bible says that having heard all these testimonies, we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, who can really bring us into the personal experience of our own faith. Now, this is what I'm going to bring out. When you hear testimonies here and there, what happens, and this happened to me as a young believer, and listen to them, I'm talking about people repeating testimonies. You know, there was one man, I think in Ife, who decided to go and jump into the lion's den because his God can stop lions. And you know what happened to him? Remember the story? The lion had not had to fight for his meal in a long time. That was the first time the lion was killing a living animal. That was a very animalistic behavior anyway. That was not faith. Many years ago, Yong Gi Cho described a scandal they had in Korea. Some men were going for a program and there was plenty flooding. There was no boat. They decided that they can walk on water. About four young men joined their hands. They prayed and decided to walk on the sea to the island they were going to. And the next time they saw them, their bodies were floating on the water. If you read Yong Gi Cho's story, he described it there. A lot of times people have tried to take steps of faith and they have only brought shame to the name of Christ Jesus. Now, there's a reason why I'm telling all these stories. I say something to you again and again. If you are not sure of what you are doing, please, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, don't do it. If you are going to do something, why are you doing it? That's how Pastor Banky does it. You have just entered into original trouble. This is how our Gio does it. This is how our Papa does it. This is how Ken Hagin said he did it. Once you start that, you are in trouble. Even if it is God that said do it like that, in quote, listen what I'm saying now, and you are not sure, and you start doing it, and you start doubting, and you become afraid, you know what happens? You sink. That was what happened to Peter. Who told him to come? The Lord Jesus Christ. Did he still sink? Plenty. He sank very well. It was while he was sinking that he shouted that Jesus now rushed and helped him. And peradventure you have taken steps in which you are sinking right now. Brethren, shout. Do you get my point? Shout to God, he will come and help you. Faith, listen, the word faith, I have discovered it in recent times. It means something that you are persuaded about. And of course, there are two sides to it. If you are persuaded about a lie, it's called a delusion and you will fail. But if you are persuaded about the truth, you will find the results of God in your life. But whether it's true or not, you must be persuaded. That's what I'm coming to. First, it must be true. That's number one. Then number two, you must be persuaded that it is true. Do you get my point? Don't join a church where they say they don't take medicine. And because they said you don't take, and you were raised in the taking of chloroquine and paracetamol, you will get the kind of malaria that will teach you the godly sense. Because you went to church, they said, we don't take medicine here. It is not as if the word entered you enough to tell you that you don't need it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, oh. I know why I'm saying all of these things. Now, we saw those kind of testimonies. That's the next thing. Please desire them. I said, I don't do them until you are sure. Number two, what did I say? Desire them. You should. One of the problems I have in Christianity these days is that we have become too prosperous. We don't know how to pray to get out of trouble anymore. We know all the natural methods. We don't magnify the working of the power of God in this life anymore. That's one of the problems we have in today's Christianity. Are you getting my point? You should desire great things. And something happened to Paul. That's where I'm going to next. All right? Like I was saying, we read all those stories in Hebrews chapter 12. When you read those stories in Hebrews chapter 12, when you read the account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and some references made to it in the book of Acts and further down, they should challenge you to something. Don't think all the Lazaruses that need to be raised have been raised. There are some Lazaruses hidden in their graves, waiting for when you two will attain to sonship and equality with God that you can call them out of their graves. And you should know that in your mind. This is what I'm making. Paul read those things. And having read them, he said, I am going for one thing. Let's read that. Please, I hope I'm not confusing what I'm saying. I've explained the fact that number one, let me turn it around. You must desire great things. You must desire for the power of God to be manifested in your life. But of course, faith does not mean you just do things that are rash. Just because you heard somebody else say it. Because that voice has not come into you. You are just copying the words that somebody else spoke. It doesn't work like that. It is like the Egyptians trying to enter into the waters, the Red Sea that was parted, because the Israelites went through. I've said it several times, be careful when you're following a blessed man. Be very careful. A brother was giving me a testimony here, and I told you, I said, when he was applying for the job he got in Lagos, people said, it's a crazy idea, don't do it. Even he initially forgot about it. Then he went back, took one of the tips that I preached, one of the messages that I preached, he listened to it and said, no, I can do this thing. The word spoke to him by himself. Are you getting my point? And then he went and he did it. And then he was appointed. He got the job. And his friends now said, if we knew it was like this, we also would have tried. I said, if they had tried, they would have failed. Because the natural order was for failure. The natural order was any man facing the Red Sea should better find another direction. Are you getting my point? But when some people, the word of God came to them, they divided the Red Sea and they passed through. Then the Egyptians said, if we knew it was like that, we should also pass through. You know what happened? They went through and you know the rest of the story. They never made it to the other side. I said, if your friends had tried it, they would not have gotten anything. Because you acted in faith, and this is a problem, let me say it again. The young man will write a book. Are you getting my point? A lot of people will read the book, and if this is how he did it, they will start doing it. Then after they have failed severally, they will now come explaining that it does not work like that. The truth is that it works like that, but it doesn't work like that. You understand what I'm saying? It worked for him the way he said it. But before he took the step, there was a force in the realm of the spirit blowing him in that particular direction. You don't have it. You are struggling in that particular direction. And therefore, the sea didn't part for you. Be careful when you are following a blessed man. Before, I used to think that everybody should make my decisions in life. Now I have learned. No, they shouldn't. If they don't know what I know, they shouldn't do what I'm doing. Don't handle your life the way I handle mine, except you know what I know. That's why I don't like counseling people. People show up from the road. Pastor Bank want to talk to you. Who are you? My name is John Bull. I said, where's John Bull from? I came from Niue. Do we have an appointment? No. Have we met before? No. I want to talk to you. I said, sorry. Listen, there was one young man, he felt very bad that day. He came from Osuka at night. No, he came from Osuka. It was finally at night he managed to see me after one program. And he said he came to me that I should counsel him, and I refused. The boy couldn't believe it. I refused totally. I told him, go and talk to somebody else. I gave him two or three of my co-workers. I said, talk to them. If they say, Pastor Banky, talk to this man, I will. I said, until then, I'm sorry. He explained that he came from Osuka, and I explained that I was going home. I entered my car and I left. Pastor Banky, you're a very wicked soul. No, I'm not. I don't give instructions to men who I have not taught. Are you getting my point? There are a number of issues with it. Number one, like I always say, why should I give you alone all the teachings I have given the whole world? I don't know whether I get my point. That's one. I only counsel people that I know. I've been seeing you around here. I know we have been relating, you know, spiritually. I know the words that I'm teaching have been entering you. Now you have gotten to a point where the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, then you now come up. I know we're already on the same page. So if I give you a word, do you get what I'm saying? It just flows still on that same page that we are both on. Therefore, you can act upon it and things will turn out well. But when a stranger who I don't know what he believes shows up suddenly, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. What am I going to tell him? The only thing I can do is to teach him everything I have taught everybody that's been showing up here every week for years. So no matter what I do is that, I say, come. Have you read this particular CD in Limit book? He says, no, go and buy it. One day, one young man came and I said, I need to see you. I said, you must think yourself very important. Anyway, it was my student, so I could abuse him small. I said, I should come and sit down, give you time to talk to me. He said, we have things to discuss, me and you, for what? I said, better, it was downstairs. I said, better go upstairs. There's somebody there. Go and buy CDs. It's not because of money. How much are you buying the CD? Pick up a few books and go and read. And make sure I see you for Bible study. When I have seen you a few times, then I know we can talk. The next time he showed for Bible study, he told me simply that he didn't need to talk to me anymore. That the things I preached, that after he read one of the books, there's another brother like that, he came, he said, he needed to talk to me. Now, after that, we have not gotten to know each other. I said, go and read that book, go and read that one. By the time he finished reading Acquire Life, he started buying Acquire Life. Did you get my point? And he said, you have my kind of problem, read this one. You have my kind of problem. Read it. He started giving it out to people. Because it's when the word has entered into somebody that the voice of God is discovered. The voice of God that is discovered now comes forth as a word of action for him. Then things flow. If you go and counsel somebody who doesn't believe all the things you are saying, you now say, do it like this. When it goes upside down, you say, you see, I wanted to do like this. So now you say, me, I go talk to the pastor. I talk to the pastor now. He said, I should do like this. He could throw them inside now. Is this your pastor that caused all my problem? It's not wickedness when I don't do counseling. You can't walk off from off the road. I ask you know they go to church? Say, they go and talk to your pastor. Say, sir, I know that you have a word for me. I don't. It's a lie. I don't. You're not deceiving me. The word I have for you is on CDs, is on books. One CD has an average of 10 messages. So if you first time you came, you wanted to see me and I refused to talk to you, this is why. Nothing personal. I don't chance for counseling. It's not as if I look at it and I say, this guy can't pay for my counseling. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a pastor and teacher. You know, we discussed that earlier. You bring a malnourished child and say, take. In 30 minutes, fatten him up. Does it make sense? A child that is malnourished. Say, doctor, take. I want this boy fat. I'll be back. I'm going to the market. In 1 hour, give him back to me. But if it's a boy that you have been feeding, you now say, doctor, I think he's febrile a bit. I can give him one small tablet and the fever will come down. That's the way it is. Whether you are rich or poor is besides the point. It's whether you have been feeding on this thing. So when you want my opinion, go and get a book, go and get a tape, go and get a CD. The CD contains plenty. And this is not a joke. Almost every time that I have talked to people like that, they have come back and said, we don't need to talk to you anymore. That message answered half of the questions. The other one took the other half. Now let me get back to what I was saying. So Paul was explaining that having experienced and heard the stories of all the things that happened in the life of Jesus, I also have a quest, and that's what I'm preaching to you believers again this evening. He said, I also have a quest. I want to achieve something like that. And let me say it again before I read this thing of Paul. Please forgive me, alright? The fact is that what Jesus did, go and read Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 2. He did so that you can also do it. This is what happened. Jesus lived a life, are you getting my point? It's called righteousness. And by the power of righteousness, he got to a point that the Father looked and said, everybody hear this. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Even dead Lazarus, you must hear him. Are you getting my point? That's called an inheritance. What did I call it? An inheritance. There was one young man. This is a movie we watched when we were children. Chinese film, you know? Bushin. Chinese film. It was a tout of a kind. So one day he and his friends got into trouble. They needed plenty of money to build themselves out of trouble. He pulled a ring from his finger, gave it to one of his friends, said, go to this particular place. Ask to see the big boss there. Show him this ring. Tell him I said you give us $25,000. They looked at him like, what are you talking about? He said, just do as I have said. He pulled a ring. I can't remember the exact figure. I just put $25,000 to make everybody find it easy to understand. I mean, they were all area boys on the street. They were in trouble and they needed to build themselves out of the deep trouble they were in. So he pulled a ring out, gave to one of his partners, said, go to this particular place, ask to see the big boss, show him this ring, and tell him I said he should give you $25,000. The guy got there. He found one gigantic corporation. Asked to see the big man. Said, so and so person said, I should collect $25,000 from you. Then why should I give him? The guy pulled out the ring and showed him the ring. The man looked at the ring and said, okay, go and pack it $25,000 and give this boy. This guy was shocked. Like, you mean it's that easy? Now, I watched this story, this movie, I mean, over 20 years ago. Why I remember it now is because of that word inheritance. Actually, what they did not know, his father was a big man. He was an only son who was a crazy son. His father gave him that ring, and that was a proof. If he had that ring, the father knew you had the boy. So when they needed anything, just go and show him the ring, you give him the money. I just want to explain the meaning of the word inheritance. Everything that man had was packaged, as it were, in that ring. And once you show that ring, you got anything. You get the point? And that's how it is with Jesus Christ. Everything that he worked, because in his own case, he wasn't free. I told you, nothing is free in the realm of the spirit. Everything is paid for. He paid for everything by the power of righteousness. And he got his ring. The power of God. Are you getting my point? Listen. Listen to this. A time came, he told the disciples, nobody can take anything from me. The prince of this world is coming, he has nothing in me. He said, I laid down my life of myself. What's the next thing he said? When I don't tire, I will take it up again. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. That is, he had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. That was what God gave him because of the work he had with God. Listen to me. It was not because of how he was born, but because of after he was born, how he walked. And everything that the Father had called a blessing on this earth, he collected. The ring was his own. You know that ring I'm talking about now? And that's what's called inheritance. And then the next thing, he now went to the cross and died. So that anybody who will call his name can collect that ring and use it. Did you hear what I said? Look, that's what it is. He said the reason was so that he might bring many sons to glory. Please, I need to emphasize this thing. Now, please listen to this. Therefore, I brought down an issue there that the life that you saw Jesus live, he was on a boat. There was calamity. He rose up and said, peace be still. That's the ring of God he was carrying. It's called the inheritance. Nicodemus saw it and said, come, Oga. No one can do this thing except God is with him. No one. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? And then he now looked. He did not say, you know I'm a son of God. No. He said, except a man be what? Born again. He can't step into this thing that I stepped into. Now, why am I telling the whole story? Paul now looked at it and said, me too, I must step into it. Did you hear what I said? Paul said what? I must step into it. And listen to me. It is not just about calling the name Jesus. It is about the Father looking at you also and saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That was why it was a life quest of Paul. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain what should be the quest of your own life also. The quest of your life should not be, I must be rich and live in a big house. It must be that a time will come. If I like a kind of house, I will call it to be. And by the following week, I'm living in it. After a week, I'm tired of it. I walk out of it, that is to somebody else. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That to labor like everybody to achieve a particular kind of house is not godliness. I don't know whether you are following my point. Your own should be that, okay, one day they will catch me in a fix and I'll tell somebody, wait, take this card. The pin is 1234. Go to the nearest ATM. Put it inside. It's your card or it's your account. I know nothing there inside. Before then. I say, punching 25,000, it will just be enough to solve this problem. And your assistant will take the card, go in there, say, God said the pin is 1234. Pam, 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 pam. Push. Before you know what's happening, 25K rolls out. And it goes, and you pay the money. By the time he was leaving, there was no money in that account. That is because you spoke. The angels had mobilized and had 25,000 deposited one way or the other into that account, that the word of the servant of God might not fall to the ground. Listen to me. Elijah did not pray so that rain will not fall. It was for rain to fall that he started praying. When he stopped the rain, it was out of vexation. You know the conversation? The man just vexed. Tell you people say, you are 12 the literature. Okay, no rain again. Until I say so. And like I said, Israel needed to pray that the man didn't die. Otherwise, until Jesus came down, there will have been no rain. Jesus will have had to personally come and wipe away that curse. For your information, you know why there's desert in Sahara Desert? They've killed some prophets who prophesied against the land. You know, when I say this, it'd be like a joke. I'm telling you what I'm saying. No, they don't kill prophets. Until sons will arise from that place, those places, and pray. And that's why, as long as they are shouting Allahu Akbar, desert will continue to encroach. You hear what I said? Okay, I know what I'm saying. So, Paul said, Paul understand all of this. Let's now quickly read Paul. Let's close. He said, finally, my brethren, verse 1 of Philippians chapter 3. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It's a safeguard for you. Please, because of my time, I'm going to jump now. From verse 3, he said, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. He said, even though I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. What he was saying is that if anybody has a reason to boast in his flesh and think he can accomplish something by his flesh, I should be the one because I have so many natural advantages. I don't have time to read all the advantages. He said from verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Please, let me explain something quickly before I go on. When he said for the sake of Christ, he was not saying I'm doing this for the advantage of the person Christ Jesus. What he was saying is that I'm doing this that I might gain Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm doing it for the sake of what I'm going to gain. Now, please get what I'm saying. He said, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that, I'm jumping now, please, you know that I jumped some lines, but that which is true faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him. Please, this is where I was going. and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Please notice verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, as I am writing, or have already become perfect, but I press on. Everybody say press on. In order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Now, please let me just stop here, all right? Now, I've explained a lot of things. That Jesus, his life, showed the demonstration of God's power working with him. And that's exactly what God wants your life to be. Unlike what we thought, those that wants to give your life to Christ, that's automatically your portion. Paul made it clear to us that it's not like that. That what happens is that a man keeps pressing on. Are you getting my point? A woman keeps pressing on. Every child of God keeps pressing on so that they might attain to what he called Christ. What it means is this. That is, they might come to the fullness of the stature of Christ so that God can look at them and confer a heavy dose of his power into their everyday living. Are you getting the point I'm making? Do you understand my point? And let me say it again. Because our time has gone, so let me quickly round everything off. Number one, all right, is the infilling of the word of God. That's the number one ingredient. That's a good word. That's the number one ingredient that we use, all right? But before we get to those ingredients, the thing I want to emphasize is that that must be the quest of our hearts. I said that last week. I said, you see, read all those things of Hebrews chapter 11. All those demonstrations of the power of God in this life. What Paul was saying is simple. I have seen it also, and I want to experience it in my life. Do you understand the logic? Do you understand the logic? Therefore, when you read testimonies, I'm back to it. It is not just to step out and start copying what somebody else did. It's to go and find out with God how a man works with him till he gets to that level where he can take such steps in boldness, in faith. Because if any man does such things in faith, he will always see the power of God working in his life. Do you get my point? It is not just that I heard that this is how somebody else did it, and I'm going to do it like that, and there's no voice working in my life like that. No. I know that these things are possible. So I now go back home and start diligently studying the word of God in prayer, because it is not just about reading the letters. Jesus said, you said the scriptures, thinking that in them you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. He said, but the scriptures only testify of me. If anybody wants eternal life, he must have the testimony of Jesus. That's what he was saying in effect. So that's why we take the scriptures together with prayer. We eat the word of God, not as if we're reciting. Remember that my story about the man who was going from one party zone to another, trying to recite things that don't have voices in him. No. But when we have seen that kind of experience, let me use mundane things to explain now. If that man wanted that kind of power, he should have gone to meet the man who was doing that thing and say, oh boy, how did you do that? The man would have told him, follow me home. When he gets home, he says, sit down here, take this knife, cut your finger. He said, how can I cut my finger? He said, you must first shed your blood into this calabash. They mix it with something. He said, you must join a group of people. Then they join. Then they start having meetings at night. You have followed what I'm going to say. Then after a while, they teach him how to contact the powers of a certain realm. Then next time he goes out and he repeats those words will be drawing powers from certain realms. Do you get the logic of what we are saying? That is what, you see, that's what a lot of people do with the Bible. They don't understand it. They think it's just by carrying the scriptures and quoting. They have not eaten the flesh and drank the blood of the Son of God. They have not yet resisted sin to the shedding of their own blood. You are getting what I'm saying? Yeah, they think they just quote one scripture and say, I reject it. That is, what do we do as believers? We have seen that the Christ life is available. That we don't have to die like unbelievers. Are you getting my point? The troubles of life don't have to afflict us like unbelievers. Listen to me, if you feed upon the word of God, it will make you so strong. All the plagues of life will not be able to stick on your body. You've read testimonies. G. Lake said there was a time the power of God was surging through him so strong. He was ministering to those who were afflicted by plague. And they said, let us immunize you. He said, it's not necessary. Any of the bacteria that touches my skin will die. Oh boy, don't think it's a joke. And they were just joking. They were not joking. Those things were tested and they were found out to be real. Most Christians just get up and say, and it was a Christian like me too. It was a Christian like me too. They go out and say, hey, where are they? Oh, yeah, where's the Ebola virus? Come. And then Ebola, of course, will punish him small, then release him, that he might learn the will of God. No, but what is he supposed to do? He's supposed to go back home, kneel down in prayer, and say, God, this is your power that I have discovered. Then he starts reading the scriptures. Because, you see, because of time, I will stop here. God begins to reveal to him the hindrances in his life that's not allowing the power of God connect with him properly. But you only get to know those things when you have a quest. Sometimes my wife and I will be talking. She'll say that, how come people don't? I say, listen, what they are looking for is not what you are looking for. It is what you are looking for that decides what you will find out. Some of the things I say, you say that, how come other preachers don't know it? I say, because they don't want to know it. It's what you are looking for in life that God uses to give you revelation. If the power of God is the thing you are dying for, sometimes God will take away your job just so that you will have the time to seek that power properly. You know what Paul said? That Philippians chapter 3 we're reading just now. Paul said, these are the things. He said, I suffer the loss of these things. Listen, it is not as if Paul woke up in the morning and said, let me go and lose them. You hear what I said? He didn't wake up in the morning to say, let me go and lose these things. They were the things that he lost in the process of making choices to gain Christ. The point is this, a lot of us are more interested in our standing in the synagogue. Therefore, next time you come, they say, you know these things offense them. Don't mention the name of Christ. Just tell them about holy living. So Paul will come and say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And that's good gospel, isn't it? If you obey the will of God, the power of God will come into your life. And that's gospel, isn't it? He will say everything, but avoid mentioning the name Christ, Jesus. Because once he mentions that name, Jesus, trouble will start again in that synagogue. That's what we do a lot of these days as Christians. So. When I was reading, this is one of my books. I had to tell myself that, Pastor Banky, when this book goes out, know that some doors of preaching are closed to you permanently. Then I told myself, but it is the truth, we must tell it. As you go on in life, life will be making choices. That is either Christ or something else. And when you make a choice, life will be making demands, I wanted to say. And when you make a choice to gain Christ, you will suffer the loss of certain things. That's when you're on your way to spiritual maturity, so that you can experience the power of God indeed.